So glad, so good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I know it's cold outside, but we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to gather this morning to worship. Now, this is an exciting Sunday because last Sunday, the staff here at Salem First Baptist, we were able to come together and finalize the vision for 2024. And so this morning, we are going to talk about what you are going to see all year. So I hope you like it because you're going to see it a whole lot. So this morning, we're going to show you a graphic. And this graphic will be all around the church here soon on banners. And what you see is our theme for this year. It's a whole new ball game. Now, you can take a guess on what sport we used here to get this. We used a baseball theme this year. And our focus here is on four things. We start on first base, which is salvation. And in baseball, which I was never a big baseball player, but I know the basics. If you run past first base, and if you don't touch first base, if you go to second and third and home, it doesn't matter. If you do not touch first base, if your foot does not make contact, then nothing else matters. In the same way, spiritually speaking, listen, membership is critical. Service is critical. Heaven is critical for the believer. But if you never touch base with salvation, nothing else is going to happen. Salvation is the beginning. That's first base. Second base is membership. We're going to talk this year about what is biblical membership. And you might say, well, Tyler, I don't see the word membership in the Bible. But you see the importance of membership. You see the importance of the early church coming together and why that matters and commitment. And so we're going to talk about that this year. And then third base is all about service. Now, whenever we talk about service, some people say, oh, here they go. They're trying to get me. They're trying to make me sign up for those crazy hooligans again. Service is not just something we do here at Salem First Baptist. Service is far beyond just the church. Service is a part of the Christian life. Jesus himself told his followers he did not come to be served, but to serve others. If we are Christ's followers, then how much more should we serve other people? And then finally, home base, heaven. Heaven is so important. Because for the believer, the moment we become born again, this world is no longer a home. We're just passing through. We are just on a journey. And our final destination is heaven. This year we'll talk about heaven. We'll talk about what the Bible says about heaven and why it is so, so wonderful. And of course, the verse, we chose one verse, and there's so many we could have chose, but there's one verse that we aligned with this theme, and that is 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's the verse that we are going to look at this morning. And of course, my sermon title is, it's a whole new ball game. I mean, why get creative? Why not just steal what we're already going to use? So this morning, if you will, go in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Just one verse this morning. And when I say it's a whole new ball game for the believer, if there's been a time in your life, church, if there's been a time in your life personally where you have made a decision for Jesus, and I'm not talking about emotions, I'm not talking about some preacher saying, hey, believe, believe, believe. I'm talking in your own soul. You came to a point where you said, Lord, I believe that you are my Savior. Lord, I believe I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe that only you can come and save me. If there's been a time in your life where you've done that, then the Bible tells us that's a whole new ballgame. Everything has changed for you now, believer. Even if you've been saved 5 years ago, 10 years ago. For me, it's 20 years ago. And maybe for you, it's been longer than that. But man, for the believer in Christ, this world is not our home. And everything is different when we believe in Jesus. If you have 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I'd ask you to stand in honor of reading God's word as we look at this one verse this morning. You might want to underline this, you might want to circle it, because this is a verse we're going to be coming back to all year long. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Bow with me. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, for this verse. Lord, thank you for this reminder. That, Lord, when we accept you, Father, we might look the same on the outside, but Lord, you change us from the inside out. Lord, Father, we are born again. Lord, we are a new creation. Father, help us understand that. Lord, Father, help us have clarity of what that means. Lord, speak to us this morning. We ask this in your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. Paul was used by God to help start this church, and he would write letters because he wanted the believers to understand right doctrine. It is so important for you and I as Christians to understand right doctrine. One of the reasons why we have connect groups every Sunday morning is because we want to know the Word of God more clear, better, but most importantly, and I'm sure my grammar's wrong. I can feel the glare of my wife whenever I say English wrong. She's going to get me later. But we need to know what the Word of God has to say. Because sometimes if we're not careful, you know what happens? We let the world dictate what the Word of God says. I've heard before people say, you know, the Bible says that money don't grow on trees. Really? What book in the Bible is that? Or sometimes we will use other catchphrases and other slogans, and people will say, well, it came from the Bible. And the truth is, it didn't come from the Bible. It might be good things, but if we don't understand doctrine, then we just kind of make it up as we go. And here, Paul is wanting the believers in Corinth to have a clear biblical understanding of what the Word of God is saying. And this verse right here, and there's so much here, we're just going to kind of go surface level this morning because we want to understand what is Paul saying. So we're going to break it down word by word this morning. The first thing I want us to look at is if anyone. Paul here, he tells the believers, he says, listen, if anyone. Now, it's important to understand, Paul did not say everyone. He didn't say everyone is a new creation under God. Everyone is a new creation under Jesus. If anyone believes. Now, sometimes if we're not careful, the world will tell us everyone's going to heaven. Well, God's a God of love, and because God loves everyone, everyone will go to heaven. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And honestly, it's a nice thought, but it's just not biblical. But even more than that, why would a person who does not believe in God want to go to eternity with God? That's like me not being a big fan of my great Aunt Sally and wanting to hang out for years with my great Aunt Sally. It just doesn't make sense. Heaven is a place not for us to be glorified, but for God to be glorified. If anyone. If we study the Gospels, if we study the ministry of Jesus, Jesus himself went to anyone. He went to the religious elite, men like Nicodemus. He went to men of influence like the rich young ruler. But Jesus also went to people who no one would speak to, like the woman at the well. He shared and he loved with lepers and people who no one else would tolerate, people like the tax collectors. Even the thief on the cross had the ability to believe in Jesus. Why? Because anyone could be accepted. Now, this is beautiful. Probably the most known verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whoever believes, not, well, you have to be Southern Baptist, or, well, you have to be a Southerner, or you have to be an American, or you have to be a good person. No, no. Whoever believes. See, what we have to understand is the gospel is not just for certain people. The gospel is not just for good people. By the way, the Bible says, who is good? No, not one. The gospel is not for just people like you and me. When Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, when he gave his marching orders to the disciples, to his followers, he said, go to all nations, not just Israel, not just to the nice people, but to all nations. Teach them, baptize them, preach the word. Why? Because if anyone believes, you and I, this year, will have opportunities to share the gospel. Well, Brother Tyler, I'm not a preacher. That's not my job. The word says it is. You know, the truth is, because I am a preacher, some people don't listen to me. The moment they see me coming, they say, oh, I'm not listening to that preacher. But guess what? They'll listen to their neighbor. They'll listen to their coworker. They'll listen to the woman who babysits their children. They'll listen to the man who fixes their car. They'll listen to the person who, in their eyes, is just like them. And if you and I will share the gospel, if we will share how Jesus changed us, then anyone has the ability to believe. We need to understand that. The second thing this morning, three words, is in Christ. If anyone is in Christ. Now, this is important because here in a minute, we're going to get to the new creation part. And the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Now, this is another misconception. How do you become a new creation? Which, by the way, is the same thing as being saved. And sometimes we think we can become saved by different ways. Well, if I'm a good person and if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, then I must be saved. Or if I come to church, if I give money to the church, if I give money to the Salvation Army, if I give money to the food bank, then I have to be saved. Or if I help that neighbor that no one else likes, if I'm nice to them, then I have to be saved. Or if I do this or do that. And biblically speaking, all of those things are wrong. Only one thing makes you saved. And that is confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believing it in your heart. Nothing else matters. And you might say, well, why do I do those other things? Because you believe that. But it starts with believing. And the Bible says, if you believe, then you're in Christ. Now, I love what this represents. Sometimes you might think you know a person. Like, for instance, if I go through your phone, you might have a whole lot of women or men in your phone. You might know a lot of people. But to my knowledge, no one here has more than one wife or one husband. So even though you know a lot of people of the different sex, how many spouses do you have? You have one. Now, that matters because even though you might know 500 women, you know one woman better. Correct? And what that means is your relationship with that one person is different than any other relationship you have. In the same way, we cannot compare our relationship to Jesus with other relationships. Paul here is using strong language. If you are in Christ, not if you know Christ, if you've ever heard of Christ. The only way that you and I are a new creation, church, is if we're in Christ. If we've never truly understood who Jesus was, if we've never understood what sin was, if we've never understood how separation between us and God has happened, then we cannot be in Christ. There has to be a time where we say, Lord, I need you to cover me. Father, I need to be washed by the blood. Lord, I need to be covered in your love and your grace and your mercy. I need you to save me. And if you are saved this morning, then you are in Christ. And then, of course, the third thing this morning, the main focus. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Now, I love that, because when I think about the word creation, I think about Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I think about how God created everything. And do you know, for the believer, even greater than Genesis 1, 2, even greater than everything that God made, is that when you and I, when we confess, when we accept, when we believe, according to what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, we are born again. And do you know what happens when we're born again? Oh, you might look the same on the outside, but spiritually speaking, on the inside, you are changed. The Bible tells us that you become a new creation. And just like God created everything that we see, just like God created the world, when you believe in Jesus, He goes into your soul and you are reborn. That is the essence of what a new creation is. So for me, in 1991, I was born. Somewhere in Little Rock. I don't even know where, but somewhere in Little Rock, I was born. But man, at the age of 12, I was reborn. At the age of 12, once I understood my sin, once I understood the need of a Savior, and once I surrendered the walls in my life and said, Lord, I'm not perfect, I'm messed up, I don't understand everything, but I need you. The Bible says I was reborn. The Bible says that I became a new creation. And do you know what happens? Do you know what it means when we're a new creation? This is where it gets fun. It's a whole new ball game. Everything's different. The beginning of verse 17 talks about what leads to being a new creation. But the ending of verse 17 tells us what happens because we're a new creation. The focus is right here. The focus is what we are. But if we are a new creation, then what happens? Two things. First, old things have passed away. Man, Paul is telling the church, listen, if you're saved, you're not who you used to be. You might look like you always did, but on the inside, those old things, the pride, the lust, the bitterness, the anger, those worldly things that once consumed you, they're no longer your master. And you might say, well, Tyler, hold on. I know I'm saved, but my struggles that I had before salvation, I still struggle with now. How is that possible? When Jesus saves you, He unlocks the shackles upon your soul. But let me tell you something, church. This is very important. Satan will still tell you those shackles are locked. Satan will still tell you that lust and that bitterness and that pride and that selfishness is still consuming you. But the Word of God tells us very clearly that nothing consumes the believer. Nothing controls you. If you are allowing those things to control you, it's because you are picking them back up. It's not because salvation is not great enough. It's not because salvation doesn't free you. It's because we are saved and we're going back to the mud. It's because we're saved and we're going back to the sin. The Lord set you free. He changed you. But often Satan whispers and says, hey, wasn't that lust a beautiful thing? Wasn't that pride a beautiful thing? Wasn't those things that you used to do, man, they were nice. They made you feel good. Go back to them. And just like we had free will before salvation, we still have free will post-salvation. And so sometimes we go back and we get into that spiritual mud. We get back into those sins. And that's when Satan messes with us. He says, oh, I told you you weren't saved. I told you it was all a scam. I told you you're not a real believer. Because if you're a real believer, why would you do this? Why would you go back? Church, we can be a new creation and still struggle. We will never be perfect on this broken earth. Now, that does not give us an excuse to sin. Don't walk out of here saying, well, Brother Tyler says I'm not perfect, so I can just do what I want. No, we should seek to live above reproach every single day. Why? Because the old things in this world, they passed away. Listen, for the believer, those shackles might still be around you, but they're not locked. No matter what Satan whispers to you, no matter what Satan tells you, those old things are no longer consuming you. You're set free, church. The Lord changed you. Why? Because He's a way maker. The final thing this morning I want us to look at, all things have become new. I love this. This is so beautiful to me. There were some things pre-salvation that I never understood. And there are some things now that I've been saved for a while, and the more I study God's word, that I understand more and more. Things like repentance. Repenting of my sin, turning towards the Lord. Things like discipleship, evangelism. When you and I become saved, do you know that our priorities change? The Bible says that the old master is this world. Who controls the world? Satan. But when we become saved, our new master is Jesus Christ. Our Father is God. Our guide in this world becomes the Holy Spirit. And our eternal destination becomes heaven. All of that happens because we're a new creation. It's a game changer. But sometimes we don't live like things are new. Sometimes, man, we are saved and Jesus changes us and we walk around with the same frown. We walk around with the same negative attitude. We walk around with the same brokenness. We walk around with the same bitterness. And then we're shocked when people can't tell I'm a believer in Jesus. Well, no, how can they? Sometimes based upon my actions, how could anyone think that I was a believer? The Bible says we should be different. It doesn't mean we're not going to have struggles. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems. But listen, our perspective, everything should be different. Why? Because our eternal destination, our eternal master has been replaced. When we become saved, all things become new. That's not the question, church. The thing that I want us to think about this morning as we close, are we living in the new? Are we living in the new way of life this morning? It's a brand new year. But are we living in the same garbage that's consumed us for years? Are we allowing the same negative things in our minds and in our hearts? The Bible says, love God with all your minds, your heart, your soul. But we can't do that in the right way if we're allowing the world to consume us. So this morning, if we've been made new, if we've been changed, if we've been set free by Jesus, the question becomes, are we living as new creatures? Are we living like we always have? You're going to look the same on the outside, church, but people should see a difference on the inside. They should be able to say, you know what? His mouth has cleaned up. Man, he used to dog cuss the tar out of me, but he don't dog cuss me anymore. Or man, he's forgiving. He used to never forgive, but now he is. Or man, she's positive. She's not negative anymore. I know it's a process. It won't happen overnight. But if we don't focus on making these changes now, when? Next year? 2 years? 3 years? If it's not worth making changes now, then why would it be worth it then? The truth is, we don't know how long the Lord is going to allow us to be a testimony for people around us. We don't know how long we're going to be a lighthouse. We need to live in such a way that people can see we're a new creation. Not that they can give us praise, but that they can see the fingerprints of Jesus on our lives and they can come to know Jesus because of the way we live. That is what matters. But they can only see that if the old man is dead and if they see the new man. Can they see the new man in your life? Church, the question becomes, and this is a personal question. Your spouse can't answer this question. Your parent can't answer this question. But has there ever been a time in your life where you've accepted Jesus? Has there ever been a time in your life where you've become a new creation? Not a church member, not a better person, but have you ever became a new creation? And if the answer is yes, then are you living like a new creation? But the answer is no. Then this morning, would you come? I would love to sit down with you and just show you scripture and just pour into you. We have others in this church who would love to do that. Why? Because the most important things, I know right now there's a lot of important things. Making sure pipes are wrapped, making sure faucets are dripping. There's some major things going on in life. But spiritually speaking, the most important thing is if we're a new creation. Because if we're the old man, there is no heaven. There is no eternity with the Lord. That's only for the new creation. Bow your heads with me. This morning, as our musicians come, I would ask you to ponder on these questions. No distractions, just you and God. Lord, do I know you? Has there ever been a time in my life where I've accepted you? And if so, am I living for you? Am I showing the world that I'm a new creation? And if you've never accepted him, why? I can't save you. No one can save you except Jesus Christ himself. And that free gift of salvation is there. All you have to do is accept it. Dear Lord, this morning, Father, as we have this time of invitation, Lord, I would ask, Father, this is a time where we are honest before you. Lord, if there's any need, Father, Lord, if we need to surrender in salvation, if we need to surrender in discipleship, Lord, let this be a time where we surrender to you. Father, if you're laying something else on our heart, Father, if you're laying membership, if you're laying just a prayer request, Father, whatever it is, this morning, let this be a time between us and our Father. Lord, we ask this in your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Will you stand reminded of that on a daily basis? We understand salvation. We understand membership. We understand service. And most importantly, we understand that this world is not our home. Amen. Remember, be careful the next few days. If you have a need, please reach out. Check on your neighbors. Check on the elderly. Check on those around you. Remember, we have the opportunity to be a light to the people around us. Brother Hunter, dismiss.